from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Into our last hour. 8 o'clock here in D.C., 5 o'clock there, 5:01 there in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr., Crisello, Matt Scraby. We have a big five to continue. Let's get right to it.
All right, we will do that. And I was talking about John Daly and the Open Championship, because that is what it's called, Chris, the Open Championship.
That's not the British Open. I heard it was the British Open.
No, it's...
No, not when they play in Scotland, because that's not the same thing. Britain, Scotland.
You know, I say a lot of really idiotic things on this show, and that one on Friday about Scotland and England got me the most grief in a long time, actually.
Yeah, I heard.
Like, telling me that I'm embarrassing myself, I must be a dummy.
I try to help save you from this stuff, but you have to argue with me.
I told you it was a desperate attempt at getting you to stop calling it the British Open.
I'm going
to
call it the British Open because that tells me what it is and where it is.
Oh, Gonzo would like me to say the Open Championship with my pinky out like I'm drinking tea. All right. Golf's major winners, if you don't know, are usually guaranteed a spot in the field for that major for life. But more recently, some are starting to say it's time to put a limit on that and let other people in. This year, straight in the crosshairs is John Daly. His most recent withdrawal came this week at the Open Championship at Royal Troon. Sometime between his first round 11 over 82 and the beginning of the second round, Daly pulled out of the tournament, citing his chronically bum knee as the reason. This came just 2 months after Daly pulled the plug on the Friday morning of the PGA Championship with a thumb injury. And if you are keeping track at home, 6 out of 63... is a double-digit withdrawal rate on golf's... Let me phrase this again poorly. Withdrawing of 6 out of 63 tournaments is a double-digit, which I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Basically, it seems like he is withdrawing from 6 out of 63 tournaments, but 2 in this year for sure. Jack Nicklaus, for comparison, played in 163 majors. He withdrew from the tournament just once at the 1983 Masters with back spasms. So after all of that, Tony, is it time to put a limit on former winners?
Who could you answer me a question, Scrape?
Yeah,
who are these people that have a problem?
Yeah,
with
who are
this?
So like, upset by this?
It's mostly just like fodder. It's mostly just like Golf Channel, the guy, like writers saying, "All right, okay. Well, because John Daly, because basically the argument is John Daly keeps taking a spot, and he keeps withdrawing from tournaments. It's like, if you can't get through the tournament,
he's not taking a spot. He earned that spot by winning the tournament.
In 1995,
that was 29 years ago. Let me ask you a question. Let's say Jack was still with us.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Let's say Arnold is still with us.
Yes.
Do you think he would, I mean, like, regardless of whether he was, like, not showing up or pulling out, should he not be able to keep his membership?
My argument for that is that Arnold Palmer, like, was the guy in golf. John Daly.
Oh, okay.
John Daly's not selling tickets.
He was neither way. By the way, Arnold Palmer, by the end, was not the reason people were showing up to the tournament either.
Yeah, you're right. It goes Arnold, goes Jack, then it goes Tiger. Those are the three that had the most impact on golf.
I think John should be able to keep his membership and continue to participate in... what is it? Not a membership. It's a...
his lifetime... he's got a lifetime spot entry. In the British Open.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think he should be able to keep
it. I hope he rolls up there in a wheelchair one year and says, I want to play when I'm 90.
He probably will. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I should take that back. There's no way John Daly's going to make it to 90. But
that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I mean, he's had a tough life.
I'm looking at a picture of him playing in the first round the other day. Tony, well, wait a minute. Is there any way I can show this?
Yeah, take your camera.
Okay. Tony, look at this picture of John Daly. Tell me this guy shouldn't be in the tournament.
He's holding
a... He 100% should be in the tournament.
Can you see him?
He looks
I can see him.
It's awesome!
He looks like Santa Claus.
I love it.
He should definitely be in a tournament.
I love this pose, man. He's got the beard down to his belly. He's got a cigarette hanging out.
I honestly
don't
know.
Telling me what golf's all about, man. Anybody can play this stupid sport except me, apparently.
I honestly don't know what people are upset about. I mean, it's not like they would have been able to play if he had not taken the spot.
He's not eliminating somebody else's spot, right? They still get the top 128 guys.
Yes, yes.
And then Daly's in for a round or two.
People just like to hate about
that. I don't understand what the point of him. Okay, he shoots 82.
He won the tournament
in 1995.
So what?
Let him play. He's being his best life right now.
Stop being mad about everything.
Personally,
people.
I'm not that mad about it, but yes. I do think
whoever the fodder crowd is over here, knock it off.
I do think it's kind of ridiculous that the guy just keeps withdrawing from majors. Like, if you can't play, you can't play it, dude.
And okay, so would it be better if he just called him before the tournament and said, hey, I'm not going to be able to play this week?
Yeah, then
so
they fill it with...
Should they then take his lifetime thing away?
Wait, whoa. What are they filling it with?
I don't think they're filling it with anything.
Exactly.
I was going to say Sam the Sheep guy down the street.
It's just mad. That's hilarious.
Bagger Vance wants the spot.
Let him play.
All right.
You know, John Daly's just capable. I saw a clip of John Daly with no shoes on. Sink one from about 180 yards from the fairway a couple of weeks ago.
And all the people that are...
Love it.
I saw a tweet DM.
Golf could use some more characters like John Daly, frankly. Watching the thrilling Billy Horschel with his hat backwards and...
Why does that bother you?
It doesn't. But they're boring.
I'm sure it bothered somebody, He's got his head backwards.
There is some stupid golf guy out there like, he's disrespecting the game.
I'm sure.
And that was Chris, actually.
Was not. He did that. He had his bat backwards because the rain was coming off the front of his cap.
I know.
He couldn't see.
I know.
But those guys are boring. John Daly is liable to do anything.
All right. Number 1. Here we go to the Braves pitcher. Can't wait to get to Tony here. There's a pitcher named Francisco Vicioso in the Braves system who has thrown 3 innings of professional baseball. In those 3 innings...
Tell us what level, please.
Rookie league.
Okay, thank you.
In those 3 innings, he has recorded 28 walks, 35 wild pitches, 4 hit-by-pitches, 20 earned runs, and 3 fielding errors in 3 chances. I've seen the video of this, too. It's like me out there, like throwing the ball around.
No, it is not like you out there.
Well, Chris has to go first on this one. I don't even know what to ask. Just comment.
No, ask what you were going to ask before.
How does
you
someone
do...
this bad even get on the team
there
to begin
you go.
With?
There you go.
That was
there
my question.
There you go.
Chris?
I think a better question is what stupid manager is leaving him in the game for his
they're not leaving him in the game.
Of the game.
Chris, he's literally thrown three innings.
And walked how
he
many?
He just can't get outs.
Wait, how many has he walked?
28.
That means 9 walks per game. So somebody's leaving him in there for 8 walks or
they're,
9
They're letting
per
him work
inning.
It out. They're letting him work
they're
it out.
They're not letting him work it out. I don't get this, so I'm gonna pass to Tony.
All right, Tony.
I don't get it.
Yeah, you guys should be ashamed of yourself. This is a young man that probably is what? My guess is rookie ball, he's probably like 18. He might even be younger than that. And, you know, the rookie ball, I promise you, is not necessarily. Well, let me. Scraby's looking it up. Let's
he's
see
19.
How old he is. He's 19 years old. Probably has played no organized baseball at all. That's my guess, watching him throw. And this is how guys learn. I know, it looks really bad right now. But you'd be surprised in a year from now, you've seen guys who look that bad turn into something completely different. And so, you know, I know we're watching it and it looks crazy when he's baseballs behind, he's a right-handed pitcher throwing it behind right-handed batters like
that
pretty
catcher.
Consistently. but just remember, it's rookie ball. Like, this is where, like, the lowest level guys start at, and most of the time, like, your picks, they ain't seeing rookie ball. They're going right to like A ball, double A. Like, they're not. This is for like the guys who are extremely raw.
Baseball 101.
I wouldn't say it's baseball 101, but in his case, we don't even know. Like, maybe this is his first time pitching. Maybe he hasn't. That's where a lot of these guys will go. Like when Kinley started pitching, he didn't. They didn't send him down to like double A to learn. They sent him down to the lower levels, and then he kind of had to figure it out. Now, clearly, my man doesn't have a good feel for throwing the baseball based on the numbers. But I'm just saying, well, it wouldn't surprise me if a year from now he looks completely different.
Well, you know, this is the problem with the internet. Is
it is the problem with the internet? I agree.
If you type in his name, just hundreds of articles are coming up with, look at this pitch, and
here's
35 wild pitches in 3 innings.
Here's my recommendation. What rookie league team is he on?
DSL Braves.
The who?
DSL Braves.
DSL Braves. I think he's using a spot that could go better to somebody like, say, John Daly?
This is not even the same argument. Not even the same argument.
And, I mean, the Braves, too, of all organizations. Like, they don't just bring... I mean, I trust me. I remember my first time playing pro ball. It was against the Yankees. It was against their A ball team. And they had some dude who was throwing like a billion and had no clue where it was going. Now, he wasn't 20 walks in, what was it? What
35
was it,
wild pitches.
28 walks in 3 innings.
He wasn't that bad, but I've seen guys bad, and all of a sudden you see them months later, they look a lot different. So hopefully it goes that way.
That's a good point. I could honestly get behind him going to rookie ball and learning how to pitch. I just think if he's got on his 8th walk of the inning, maybe we should have got him out of there and, you know, put him back in the bullpen and
so
work
what,
on the side.
So what, the 8th walk
him.
Was the problem?
Well, no, that's the what other I'm thing. Saying. That means that's, 3 appearances, that, 28 walks. That's crazy.
That's the other thing. We're just dividing numbers. Like, he could have got a boatload of those in his first, and it could have like gradually gotten better over the 3 outings. I don't know what his stat lines look. You
his
got that up
log.
There too.
I'm gonna try to find
tough.
His game.
It's
log.
Gonna be tough to find a DSL Braves game log. I'm tell
I'm
you
looking,
that.
Okay, so all right. Well, in 2023, he had an ERA of 351. He appeared in 3 games, only recorded 1 out in his 3 games that he played last year.
Goodness.
This year, he's pitched 2 2/3, and he has an ERA of 23.6. So he's getting better. He's getting better. He's getting a lot better.
Can he get? Stop, how can he get worse?
his batting average against is pretty okay.
Yeah, because nobody's swinging the bat, bro.
Exactly.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, I don't see his game log. So,
well, good luck to the young man. I hope he figures it out.
You know, Tony, that was a really nice thing you did, because there are a lot of people crushing this guy. And you just kind of explained he's new.
Yeah, because the reality is you guys don't know. I don't expect you to know that. But, you know, it just, especially the way social media is It is made now for a guy like that to look like he doesn't belong where he is right now because of, you know, how they put that kind of stuff. So
I mean, all right, I'm starting to come around. I mean, after all, you and I kind of brought Scraby along slowly.
Oh, my God.
Now look where he is.
I can't remember his name.
Scraby.
Scraby, you know what? Play a weather report to explain to you where you've come from.
Hold on. Before you do that, that is a great, great comparison, right? Could anybody who has been listening to our show as long as they have had said, oh, Scraby would be able to host an hour of radio when we first started?
Everybody would have said that.
Scraby.
They would have said, I can't wait to tune in to see what he messes up tonight.
Don't play your weather report. Play the time we threw to you for a quick advertisement, and you jumped into the mic and you said, what's up, Scraby?
Where is it? Well, I did say this at one point.
I love Total Divas.
What's up, Scraby?
What's up, Scraby?
Where did you go?
You didn't know what to do after that. That was like six wild pitches at once.
Here it is.
What's up, Scraby?
So it's like when I do the SD Fat Loss, I say, hey, everybody, it's Scraby here for SD Fat Loss. What's up, Scraby? Not like, what's up, everyone?
That was
a fun day at the office. Everybody asking me, what's up, Scraby?
You've come a long way. Come a long way.
Like I said.
So there's hope for this
guy. So I'm Francisco Vicioso? Is that what you're saying?
Not anymore.
let's go to break. When we come back, we got another edition of Fair or Foul, if you can guys remember that. Wait.
No,
we do a Fair or Foul?
We should do it. I was going to ask you guys in the break if you wanted to do it, because we can talk about other things.
Apparently, Tony wants to do it.
Okay, we'll do it.
There you go.
I'm sorry. I was just
Tony's
reading
doing
our,
the right thing. Tony's
I'm
doing the right
our
thing.
Log. I'm
Tony's
sorry.
Tony's doing the right thing. It was in the log. He's reading what was supposed to be read.
More Gwen and Chris on the other side, ladies and gentlemen.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run! Number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Till 6 o'clock, then the Scraby Chronicles take over. An hour of real craziness. You think this show's crazy? What do you don't have Tony in here? Tony and I here to keep him under wraps.
Well, we got a story about Mars in tonight's show.
Mars,
yes,
exactly.
That's what we're talking about.
We got a story about Brock Purdy, and
exactly,
we got a story about Jordan Love.
I think I'd rather hear about Mars.
Well, then you'll have to listen during the Scraby Show.
By the way, we talked about the men's Olympic team, summer league basketball Olympic team, struggling to defeat, was it South Sudan the other day? And again today, a 4-point win over Germany. But how about the women's basketball Olympic team losing to the WNBA All-Stars? I thought that was kind of interesting the other night.
I actually love that.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark had a good game. Angel Reese had a good game. But it was really our girl Ogunbowale from the Dallas team.
Nice
34 job, points all in the second half, Tony. She had 8 yeah. threes in the second half. Ogunbowale was lighting
out.
It up.
She got called out by her head coach, Sharon Miller, at halftime and then decided to put on the show.
She did a hell of a job. I think it's
great for their league, and here's why. Since the inception of us, you know, women have dominated the Olympics for a very, very long time. Women's basketball has. And that was a team that I think in women's sports, nobody figured could ever be beat or would ever be beat. And the fact that the WNBA All-Stars are beating them, I think it speaks to the depth of that league. That they can remove all of those players, all of the very best players. I don't think there's any argument out of that league, and then face up against the best of the WNBA and could still lose.
Yeah,
I think that's good for their league in this case.
It's great for the WNBA. I mean, the depth of the league is, you know, beyond where it's ever been. And again, you know, you got to thank Clark, you got to thank Angel Reese, but Ogunbowale is another example of what they have. People don't know about her, but she's the second leading scorer in the league. So she didn't just come out and have one good game. She's been having good games all year. And it's her second time she's been in the running for the Olympic team and been bypassed. And she was very quick to point that out after this performance the other day and say, wait a minute, man, you shouldn't have forgot about me.
I think she removed herself this past time because she saw the writing on the wall
right
coming. And so, yeah, I mean, She definitely was on a mission. The fact that she got that all in the second half, too, was even more of
It was a hot streak, just like the ones you see, you know, some of these guys go on in the NBA. I mean, she was knocking in shot after shot. It was fun to watch. So
Is it Ruko?
Ruko, yeah. Broadcaster?
The broadcaster.
ESPN
he's
guy?
He's got his little call, Bream's bang.
Oh yeah, bang.
He has his own. I think he says you bet.
He says you bet.
He was saying it a lot the other night for a Goodman.
Yeah, I like his call.
WNBA, man, lighten it up. It was fun. But the women's Olympic team starts this weekend, too. All right, Scraby, you have 2 minutes left for the whole segment that you're going to do.
That's
here,
okay.
Which
that's
means
okay.
Probably not going to do it. You're going to do it anyway?
We're going to start it.
Okay.
We're going to start it. Because we've been trying to find the right mix for this whole segment, fair or foul. And originally it was Padres tweets, and then it moved to other things. Now I'm just going to open it up to any sort of comment that I find, because I was not finding the things that I needed. But here we go. The first one comes from Talkin' Yanks. Pinstripe Alley. It's the blog that every team has one. I think it's like a fan-sided blog or whatever. So they wrote, here is the title. Aaron Boone's excuse for DJ LeMahieu shows why Yankees will never be serious. And the reason they're saying this, because the Yankees refused to remove DJ LeMahieu from the lineup while he's batting 177. He has a 471 OPS. He has 36 OPS plus. No home runs in 39 games. He has just 3 extra base hits and only 11 RBIs. And according to the article, even his defense has been affected. But if you ask manager Aaron Boone, it seems none of that matters. Aaron Boone said, DJ LeMahieu has earned the right to play, referencing him being a 2-time batting champion. He still believes he has a great track. He can be great and they can unlock it. So, Chris, fair or foul, Aaron Boone's excuse for DJ LeMahieu shows why Yankees will never be serious.
That's ridiculous. Fair. Is Aaron Boone's comments fair?
No,
or is
the title that I read.
Oh, it's not even, it's beyond foul.
Really?
Yeah, Aaron Boone's talking about, as he said, a guy that's won a couple of batting championships. And the notion that the Yankees are what? They're not trying? They don't care? You're talking about Aaron Boone, the guy that would punch his brother in the face to win a ball game.
No, basically.
Kidding me?
He might do that, honestly.
Come on.
Basically, what they're saying is DJ LeMahieu got a huge contract. They're not willing to move on from their bad decision.
How many at-bats has he had this year? He was hurt, right, the whole part
129.
He's played 39 games.
Yeah, 124 at-bats. In a 6,000 at bat career is a pretty small sample size, and I'm looking at DJ LeMahieu here, 290 career hitter. I'm gonna give him a little more time, probably to the end of the season, being as the Yankees are doing just fine with him or without him. Give him a chance to settle back in. He's 35, so I'm not expecting him to be. But the Yankees have a better alternative, by the way.
I'm not a Yankees expert. I don't think so.
Two batting titles. He's got one in each league. Tony's dad never even won a batting title in each league.
That's true.
So,
fair or foul, Tony. The Yankees will never get better because of their thought process.
Never get better.
That's foul. That's ridiculous. I think that, like Chris said, DJ LeMahieu should be allowed to kind of let this breathe a little bit. Yankees aren't hurting. They're well in playoff contention at this point. And as he said, I don't know if they have a better alternative. So, yeah, I think the way you asked the question to me, a foul.
Okay. Next one is actually a TV situation. The Brickyard 400 was yesterday, and it was a pretty good overtime conclusion. If you guys didn't see, I did see the end of this, but the race went into overtime. The finish, though, of the overtime was moved from NBC to the USA Network due to NBC's local affiliates needing to cover, quote, breaking news that took place earlier today. Referring to President Joe Biden's announcement that he will not be seeking a second term in office. People are very upset with this, that the conclusion of the Brickyard 400 was moved from NBC to USA. So Basically, yes, that's it. Tony, fair or foul for them to move the event from NBC to USA in overtime because of breaking news?
Now, I will admit, I don't have a care for the Brickyard 500, so maybe...
400.
400.
So
they could even stream the Brickyard 400, and I wouldn't be upset.
I know that.
I think... It's listen, if the contracts say they had to get back to doing what they were doing, breaking
I don't
news,
think there's any contract. I think that's an editorial decision, a programming decision.
Well, listen, the editorial decision, you know, I think it's probably news when the president decides he's not going to run for a second term. So
fair enough.
I think the Brickyard 400, they can go with the who was the other people mad earlier we talked about? Somebody else was mad.
Oh, the contingent of golfing people.
Oh yeah, the contingents of Dwayne and John Daly. They can sit with those folks and be mad together.
Chris's John Daly joke that he made earlier about I forget now is a huge hit on the chat. Let me tell you, they're loving that joke, Chris. Fair or foul for this?
If they can show O.J. Simpson driving along in a Bronco for 4 hours during the NBA Finals, they can certainly make an announcement that the President of the United States is stepping out of the race. Sorry, Brickyard people.
No, I get it. I mean, this is a huge breaking news story. I do find it a little strange, though.
That's strange, Scrape.
The race is almost over. Why don't you just... skip it.
Maybe they could have just asked the president to hold off on his announcement for 5 or 10 minutes while the race ended.
I may have made a joke right there, but I'm not willing to do that at this point in time. Last one, Rory McIlroy, after he was cut from the Open, he got on a plane and he went with his family to a vacation. I don't know where. But here's what he said, and I want you to say fair or foul, Chris. They were asking him about his recent divorce that turned out not to be a divorce. They are going to reconcile. He said, "There have been rumors about my personal life recently, which is unfortunate. Responding to each rumor is a fool's game. Fair or foul, is responding to each rumor a fool's game, Chris?"
Yes. I don't know what fair is.
You're saying it's fair.
Rory's being fair.
Okay.
Speaking Tony, the truth.
Thank you, Rory, for finally wising up there, buddy. Yes, it is fair. Don't address every single rumor, buddy.
Which is something he's kind of been in the habit of doing over the years.
He kind of does this. He kind of has done it. So maybe he's learning. This is growth. I like it.
Yeah, that's the reason I put it in there is because I thought it would be the only fair one we've done in the fair or foul segment in total.
Maybe now his experience will allow him to stay after he, you know, loses a close major.
By the way, Rory McIlroy was only about two or three shots ahead of John Daly at the end of the first round. Should they let Rory McIlroy still compete in the Open Championship?
Yes, he's a former winner.
Oh, okay, good.
And he qualified because he finished second at the U.S. Open.
Now
so.
You're starting
glad
to make
we're
some
all
sense.
On the same
you're starting
page,
to figure
buddy.
It all out. That's right.
All right, that's it.
Very good. Back, we got one final. And who knows what direction that'll go.
I think it's Greg Camarillo.
It could go Greg in that Camarillo. Direction.
Okay, cool.
Come back to find out. All right, wrapping things up here. Happy hour. Cristello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Washington, D.C., where the big news tomorrow will be the Padres taking on the Nationals. Come on, where are our priorities, people? Padres and Nats get underway at about 3:40 tomorrow afternoon. That means our program will be over at 2:40 tomorrow. So make sure you're on time for the show. 2 o'clock tomorrow gets you ready for the first of the three games set. Padres took 2 of 3 from Cleveland. I don't know if we talked enough about that today. You know, we got into it, but going to make kind of a big deal out of that.
You know, going into the weekend, I thought that the Guardians had only lost... They hadn't lost a series.
I thought the same thing.
So I tweeted that, and I felt really
then
stupid.
I heard that stat somewhere, and I didn't double-check it.
You weren't the only one who said that.
Yeah, so somebody just had it wrong. But, no, they lost one to the Yankees earlier this year, but this was only the second that they lost at home all year. So pretty good. The Guardians have been at home. And the Padres are able to knock them off. So good on the Padres. Let's see if they can back it up. in D.C. But we talked some football earlier with Greg Camarillo. The NFL season is less than 10 days from the spring training opener. Let's find out a little bit more about what's coming up in football this fall. First, though, we check traffic. Let's start with at the top of football, and we'll work our way down. The Chiefs have now won two Super Bowls in a row. Nobody's ever won three in a row. Do you think the Chiefs winning again would be a great thing for football, or is it time for them to get knocked off their perch? And if they get knocked off their perch, give me a couple of teams you think could legitimately pull it off, other than the 49ers, because we know that they're dreaming.
Dreaming, I mean, the Chiefs are the gold standard when it comes to football of this era, much like the Patriots were of the past era. I don't think it's good for any sport and any team to win three consecutive championships, because it's fun to see change. Much like we saw UConn men's basketball this last year just dominate 2 years in a row, it's not as much fun as watching a new team come and at least put up a fight or win a championship. So I will be for somebody else to come win that championship. And that's nothing against the Chiefs. They're amazing. They're great. But it's more fun when we get to see things change up. And that's what the NFL has going, is it's a league where most teams have a shot. I think that's what makes it fun to watch.
Apparently, Greg doesn't like dynasties, and so he wants it to be broken up immediately, which sounds a little bit of a hater, but it's okay. As we'll move on.
Definitely some hater in there.
He had to face Brady for most of his career, so I think that's where it comes from.
I guess I could understand that. Greg, I want to ask you a little bit about the Bears and Caleb Williams. What do you think of the roster that he's inheriting, at least offensively? I know he's got some weapons there on the outside. Does he have a chance to thrive in his rookie season?
The short answer is yes. I have not had much of a chance to actually watch Bears football in the last few years or pay much attention to their offseason, because they have been abysmal. Now, I thought Justin Fields had talent. I thought that he was someone that could turn into a franchise quarterback. He would demonstrate sparks of that. But ultimately, like, the quarterbacks, that's where careers have gone to die this past decade. It's not been set up for success. And when you're picking first, it means because your team has not been good. But Caleb Williams is that guy. And getting to watch him at SC and the confidence he plays with, the maturity, the poise, like, this is as a pro quarterback ready to play as you know, you mentioned I went to Stanford, as Andrew Luck. And getting to watch him play in college, you could just see the difference between a guy that's good at college football and a guy that's ready for the pros. And that is Caleb Williams, and his just maturity and ability to be in the pocket and make the right play. And so I think he does have a chance for success. Will it happen right away? Probably not. But over his time in Chicago, he is that guy that can turn things around there.
Talking about the quarterback position, Greg Camarillo is with us. And I just want to go back to the Chiefs for a half a second, because it seems like the only really advantage that the Chiefs have over everybody is Patrick Mahomes. And it doesn't seem right to me, but in a lot of ways it does, because we saw what Brady did and all the other quarterbacks before and after. But why is it that in football, which is really the ultimate team game, 22 guys have to be working in concert out there, that one position, the fact that the Chiefs have an edge there is why they have an edge everywhere?
Absolutely, and it relates to the coaching. Much like Mahomes and Brady, they both had their coaches that are next-level coaches that can take them there. But you can't discount the value of Travis Kelce. And I'm not saying he is the sole reason they are winning championships, but I got a chance to broadcast UCLA's spring game this year. And UCLA's new offensive coordinator is Eric Bieniemy, who spent a lot of time in Kansas City. And so I was talking to him, like, how does he teach the college guys that pro offense? And he said, we will watch a lot of film. So we'll watch how we did it in practice, and then we'll watch the Chiefs to show how it's supposed to be done. But I don't want my guys watching Travis Kelce, because he just makes things up. And so it's that combination of Mahomes being an elite quarterback and Travis Kelce just being able to freestyle things. and that chemistry between them, much like Gronk and Brady, where even if a play broke down, they'll figure it out. So it's really that having the coach, having that quarterback, but then having guys like Gronk, having guys like Kelce that can go off script and just make amazing things happen. And you put all that together, and that's the magic sauce right there. That's what gets you a ring.
Greg Amarillo joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Greg, one of the things that came out, I don't know if John Harbaugh said it yesterday or today, but he talked about Lamar Jackson. The plan is for him to end up being the greatest quarterback to ever do it. Now, he's obviously took some flack because he has struggled, quite frankly, in the postseason. I mean, does he have a chance this year with the additions of Derrick Henry in that backfield? What are you going to have to see from him in order for him to get over the hump in terms of getting this kind of playoff issue behind him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'll ever be the greatest quarterback of all time. He's one of the greatest to watch, one of the most fun to watch. Definitely has the most skill set as a quarterback as far as doing different things. Getting over that hump, it's so hard in the NFL to win a Super Bowl. You look at guys like Dan Marino, who were one of the most epic passers in the world, that never had a championship ring because it takes so much more around you. And it also takes some luck. You think of the time where Brady came back 28-3. There was some luck involved. Kansas City in their playoff game with 16 seconds left, getting the kickoff and going and getting a field goal. Like, there's a little component of luck that goes beyond just the talent. Lamar Jackson has all the talent. He's heading in the right direction. They're putting those pieces around him. But sometimes it just takes that little bit of luck to get you that championship ring. And you know, that's what Lamar seems to be missing, is that, and not just for him, the team around him, to get him to go to that next step.
Craig Camarillo is with us. Of course, one of the things that is exciting about the beginning of any season, whether it's baseball, football, whatever, new faces in new places. And, you know, in the NFL, it's going to take a while for everybody to catch up on who's, you know, running back where. Some of the quarterbacks have moved around. Obviously, wide receivers signed free agent contracts. But I don't think there's a bigger name that is newcomer to the NFL this year than Jim Harbaugh. And he comes in to take over the Chargers. And you look at Harbaugh, I mean, he's coming off, first of all, a national champion. But when he was coaching the 49ers, it was unreal how successful he was. And people think that, a lot of people I've seen think, that he's already like a top five coach in the NFL. Just coming back, he just lands that high. And people think he can do it with the Chargers, which I have to say, he's taking on an amazing challenge because he's doing it with a franchise that's never been able to get it done. What do you know about Jim? I mean, you know, USD connection, Stanford connection, whatever, but that makes him so great.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me go back to your name game of trying to figure out who's on what team. I was listening to you and Scravy try to challenge each other as to where these free agents went, and it made me crack open the NFL previews, trying to figure out who's on what team, because it has been a serious shuffle this offseason. Jim Harbaugh has proven destination after destination that he builds champions. He started at USD where I worked in the athletic department there. He totally turned that program into a championship program. Stanford, and this is no knock to my alma mater, but, well, it is a knock to my alma mater. If you could turn Stanford into a championship program, you have the magical juice, because the things he did there literally turned this struggling program into a team that could fight for a national championship. And then he left and did it with the Niners. So, you know, it's for Scraby, he's probably the happiest about that. So he proved he could do it at all levels of college, and then he did it in the pros. And then he did the exact same thing at Michigan. So this guy just has the blueprint for turning programs around. Now, this is going to be probably his biggest challenge, and it is because they lack talent. The Chargers have Justin Herbert, who is an amazing quarterback, and then that's it. They got rid of Keenan Allen. They got rid of Mike Williams. They don't have elite talent surrounding Justin Herbert for him to immediately come and make an impact. But I'd be a fool to say he can't do it, because we've seen him time and time again do it. It'll be fun to watch just how quickly he can do it, and then with what pieces. You know, who are the guys that we're used to? Austin Eckler. We're used to Keenan Allen. Who are going to be the guys that fill those spots? But if there's one guy that can do it, that's Coach Harbaugh for sure.
No doubt about it. Greg, I got to ask you, since you brought the 49ers up and Scrave's happiness, Brandon Ayuk is unhappy right now with the 49ers in the contract negotiation. And, you know, I was listening to – I've heard this kind of speak prior to listening to Scrave and Chris talk about it, that Brandon Ayuk is not an important piece to that offense. Now, you played the wide receiver position. How important is Brandon Ayuk to that offense?
He's huge. He's the one piece, and I'm not saying he's the piece, because they have George Kittle, they got Debo Samuels, Brock Purdy is the one delivering the ball, but Brandon Ayuk is one of the reasons that they went on such a run last year. And as a wide receiver, to watch him and his ability to come across the middle and make huge plays is huge to the game. You have to pay attention to Brandon Ayuk, and then that gets Debo Samuel open, that gets George Kittle open, that makes Brock Purdy's life easier. And so he's huge in their success. Now, is he $30 million a year huge like he's asking? Probably not, but he is due to make $14 million. This is the last year of his rookie deal, and then they still have the ability to franchise tag him after that. So I personally don't think he's leaving. I have no problem with a man spending the offseason going into contract negotiations, because that's his time. You know, he's 26 years old. This is his prime chance to get money. Go ahead and get young, get that money, man. Get that bag. But I think he'll be a Niner again. Hopefully they can find a way to make some room in the salary cap for him. They're fine this year coming up, but in future years they've got some issues with the salary cap. And, you know, they found Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy and a franchise quarterback who's making pennies to everyone else's dollars, pennies to everyone else's millions of dollars. So they got to capitalize now.
Because they're going to have to pay him at some point.
Yep. So they got to go for it now. And if there's a way to get Brandon Ayuk happy and get him money and get him out on that field, he is definitely needed for a championship run.
Greg, we got a couple minutes left. I want to use all the minutes. Scraby's rolling his eyes.
I mean, I go, hey, Chris, we only got 1 minute until we're out. And he's like, oh, okay.
So what I wanted to do is thank you for coming on.
Oh, come on. I know there's a question. At this point, I've already moved everything.
We'll have to talk to you next week.
Just go.
There you go.
Ask your question, Chris. Ask your question.
I got nothing for him.
Ask your question.
Let's just keep talking to anger Scraby. How about that?
All right. In as many words as you can. No, from 2006 to 12 when you played, 12 years now, how has the National Football League possibly gotten more popular than when you were there? Because it was huge then, but it seems like it's bigger than ever now.
Taylor Swift. No, just kidding. I had to say that. That's the difference. Gambling was not embraced when I was playing. And now that is such a huge component of the game for everyone to be able to, well, most people, depending on your state, to be able to gamble on the game. It's gotten so popular that even some NFL players are gambling on their own games. So that is a huge component of the game, and it's helped bring in money. It's helped bring in visibility. It's helped getting guys like Brandon Ayuk these bigger contracts.
Well done, Greg. We got to go right now. Can't even say goodbye. Because Scraby's getting the steam coming out of his ears. Thanks, Greg. We appreciate it as always. Good catching up to you.
Bye, fellas.
Put the steam back in your ear, Scraby. You got another show to do.
I love how Tony's just laughing the entire time.
He loves it.
Oh, this is great. You're mad.
You were mad a lot today. If you missed any part of Scraby being mad, you can catch any part of the show, 97.3thefan.com, or, of course, Odyssey app. Coming up next, Scraby Chronicles. Can't imagine where those are going to go tonight. Matt Scraby from 6 to 7, for Tony Gwynn Jr. in D.C., Chris Ello here. Don't forget to be on time tomorrow, 2 o'clock, short show ahead of Padres baseball. Right here. It'll be on 97.3 The Fan. Ta-ta. Let's start with at the top of football, and we'll work our way down. The Chiefs have now won two Super Bowls in a row. Nobody's ever won three in a row. Do you think the Chiefs winning again would be a great thing for football? Or is it time for them to get knocked off their perch? And if they get knocked off their perch, give me a couple of teams you think could legitimately pull it off, other than the 49ers, because we know that they're dreaming.
The Chiefs are the gold standard when it comes to football of this era, much like the Patriots were of the past era. I don't think it's good for any sport and any team to win three consecutive championships, because it's fun to see change. Much like we saw UConn men's basketball this last year just dominate 2 years in a row, it's not as much fun as watching a new team come and at least put up a fight or win a championship. So I will be for somebody else to come win that championship. And that's nothing against the Chiefs. They're amazing. They're great. But it's more fun when we get to see things change up. And that's what the NFL has going, is it's a league where most teams have a shot. I think that's what makes it fun to watch.
Apparently, Greg doesn't like dynasties, and so he wants it to be broken up immediately, which sounds a little bit of a hater, but it's okay. As we'll move on.
Definitely some hater in there.
He had to face Brady for most of his career, so I think that's where it comes from.
I guess I could understand that. Greg, I want to ask you a little bit about the Bears and Caleb Williams. What do you think of the roster that he's inheriting, at least offensively? I know he's got some weapons there on the outside. Does he have a chance to thrive in his rookie season?
The short answer is yes. I have not had much of a chance to actually watch Bears football in the last few years or pay much attention to their offseason, because they have been abysmal. Now, I thought Justin Fields had talent. I thought that he was someone that could turn into a franchise quarterback. And he would demonstrate sparks of that. But ultimately, like, the quarterbacks, that's where careers have gone to die this past decade. It's not been set up for success. And when you're picking first, it means because your team has not been good. But Caleb Williams is that guy. And getting to watch him at SC and the confidence he plays with, the maturity, the poise, like, this is as a pro quarterback ready to play as you mentioned, I went to Stanford, as Andrew Luck. And getting to watch him play in college, you could just see the difference between a guy that's good at college football and a guy that's ready for the pros. And that is Caleb Williams, and his just maturity and ability to be in the pocket and make the right play. And so I think he does have a chance for success. Will it happen right away? Probably not. But over his time in Chicago, he is that guy that can turn things around there.
Talking about the quarterback position, Greg Camarillo is with us. And I just want to go back to the Chiefs for a half a second, because it seems like the only really advantage that the Chiefs have over everybody is Patrick Mahomes. And it doesn't seem right to me, but in a lot of ways it does, because we saw what Brady did and all the other quarterbacks before and after. But why is it that in football, which is really the ultimate team game, 22 guys have to be working in concert out there, that one position, the fact that the Chiefs have an edge there is why they have an edge everywhere?
Absolutely. And it relates to the coaching. Much like Mahomes and Brady, they both had their coaches that are next level coaches that can take them there. But you can't discount the value of Travis Kelce. And I'm not saying he is the sole reason they are winning championships. But I got a chance to broadcast UCLA's spring game this year. And UCLA's new offensive coordinator is Eric Bieniemy, who spent a lot of time in Kansas City. And so I was talking to him, like, how does he teach the college guys that pro offense? And he said, we will watch a lot of film. So we'll watch how we did it in practice, and then we'll watch the Chiefs to show how it's supposed to be done. But I don't want my guys watching Travis Kelce, because he just makes things up. And so it's that combination of Mahomes being an elite quarterback and Travis Kelce just being able to freestyle things, and that chemistry between them, much like Gronk and Brady, where even if a play broke down, they'll figure it out. So it's really that having the coach, having that quarterback, but then having guys like Gronk, having guys like Kelce that can go off script and just make amazing things happen. And you put all that together, and that's the magic sauce right there. That's what gets you a ring.
Greg Amarillo joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Greg, one of the things that came out, I don't know if John Harbaugh said it yesterday or today, but he talked about Lamar Jackson. The plan is for him to end up being the greatest quarterback to ever do it. Now, he's obviously took some flack because he has struggled, quite frankly, in the postseason. I mean, does he have a chance this year with the additions of Derrick Henry in that backfield? What are you going to have to see from him in order for him to get over the hump in terms of getting this kind of playoff issue behind him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he'll ever be the greatest quarterback of all time. He's one of the greatest to watch, one of the most fun to watch. Definitely has the most skill set as a quarterback as far as doing different things. Getting over that hump, it's so hard in the NFL to win a Super Bowl. You look at guys like Dan Marino, who were one of the most epic passers in the world, that never had a championship ring because it takes so much more around you. And it also takes some luck. You think of the times where Brady came back 28-3. There was some luck involved. Kansas City in their playoff game with 16 seconds left, getting the kickoff and going and getting a field goal. Like, there's a little component of luck that goes beyond just the talent. Lamar Jackson has all the talent. He's heading in the right direction. They're putting those pieces around him. But sometimes it just takes that little bit of luck to get you that championship ring. And you know, that's what Lamar seems to be missing, is that, and not just for him, the team around him, to get him to go to that next step.
Craig Camarillo is with us. Of course, one of the things that is exciting about the beginning of any season, whether it's baseball, football, whatever, new faces in new places. And, you know, in the NFL, it's going to take a while for everybody to catch up on who's, you know, running back where. Some of the quarterbacks have moved around. Obviously, wide receivers signed free agent contracts. But I don't think there's a bigger name that is newcomer to the NFL this year than Jim Harbaugh. And he comes in to take over the Chargers. And you look at Harbaugh, I mean, he's coming off, first of all, a national champion. But when he was coaching the 49ers, it was unreal how successful he was. And people think that, a lot of people I've seen think that he's already like a top five coach in the NFL. Just coming back, he just lands that high. And people think he can do it with the Chargers, which I have to say, he's taking on an amazing challenge because he's doing it with a franchise that's never been able to get it done. What do you know about Jim? I mean, you know, USD connection, Stanford connection, whatever, but that makes him so great.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me go back to your name game of trying to figure out who's on what team. I was listening to you and Scravy try to challenge each other as to where these free agents went, and it made me crack open the NFL previews trying to figure out who's on what team, because it has been a serious shuffle this offseason. Jim Harbaugh has proven destination after destination that he builds champions. He started at USD where I worked in the athletic department there. He totally turned that program into a championship program. Stanford, and this is no knock to my alma mater, but, well, it is a knock to my alma mater. If you could turn Stanford into a championship program, you have the magical juice, because the things he did there literally turned this struggling program into a team that could fight for a national championship. And then he left and did it with the Niners. So, you know, for Scraby, he's probably the happiest about that. So he proved he could do it at all levels of college, and then he did it in the pros. And then he did the exact same thing at Michigan. So this guy just has the blueprint for turning programs around. Now, this is going to be probably his biggest challenge, and it is because they lack talent. The Chargers have Justin Herbert, who is an amazing quarterback, and then that's it. They got rid of Keenan Allen. They got rid of Mike Williams. They don't have elite talent surrounding Justin Herbert for him to immediately come and make an impact. But I'd be a fool to say he can't do it, because we've seen him time and time again do it. It'll be fun to watch just how quickly he can do it, and then with what pieces. You know, who are the guys that we're used to? Austin Eckler. We're used to Keenan Allen. Who are going to be the guys that fill those spots? But if there's one guy that can do it, that's Coach Harbaugh for sure.
No doubt about it. Greg, I got to ask you, since you brought the 49ers up and Scrave's happiness, Brandon Ayuk is unhappy right now with the 49ers in the contract negotiation. And, you know, I was listening to – I've heard this kind of speak prior to listening to Scrave and Chris talk about it, that Brandon Ayuk is not an important piece to that offense. Now, you played the wide receiver position. How important is Brandon Ayuk to that offense?
He's huge. I mean, he's the one piece, and I'm not saying he's the piece because they have George Kittle, they got Debo Samuel, Brock Purdy is the one delivering the ball, but Brandon Ayuk is one of the reasons that they went on such a run last year. And as a wide receiver, to watch him and his ability to come across the middle and make huge plays is huge to the game. You have to pay attention to Brandon Ayuk, and then that gets Debo Samuel open, that gets George Kittle open, that makes Brock Purdy's life easier. And so he's huge in their success. Now, is he $30 million a year huge like he's asking? Probably not, but he is due to make $14 million. This is the last year of his rookie deal, and then they still have the ability to franchise tag him after that. So I personally don't think he's leaving. I have no problem with a man spending the offseason going into contract negotiations because that's his time. You know, he's 26 years old. This is his prime chance to get money. Go ahead and get that money, man. Get that bag. But I think he'll be a Niner again. Hopefully they can find a way to make some room in the salary cap for him. They're fine this year coming up, but in future years they've got some issues with the salary cap. And, you know, they found Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy and a franchise quarterback who's making pennies to everyone else's dollars, pennies to everyone else's millions of dollars. So they got to capitalize now.
Because they're going to have to pay him at some point.
Yep. So they got to go for it now. And if there's a way to get Brandon Ayuk happy and get him money and get him out on that field, he is definitely needed for a championship run.
Greg, we got a couple minutes left. I want to use all the minutes. Scraby's rolling his eyes.
I mean, I go, hey, Chris, we only got 1 minute until we're out. And he's like, oh, okay.
So what I wanted to do is thank you for coming on.
Oh, come on. I know there's a question. At this point,
we'll
I've already moved everything.
We'll have to talk to you next week.
Just go.
There you go.
Ask your question, Chris. Ask your question.
I got nothing for him.
Ask your question.
Let's just keep talking to anger Scraby. How about that?
All right. In as many words as you can. No, from 2006 to 12 when you played, 12 years now, how has the National Football League possibly gotten more popular than when you were there? Because it was huge then, but it seems like it's bigger than ever now.
Taylor Swift. No, just kidding. I just had to say that. That's the difference. Gambling was not embraced when I was playing. And now that is such a huge component of the game for everyone to be able to, well, most people, depending on your state, to be able to gamble on the game. It's gotten so popular that even some NFL players are gambling on their own games. So that is a huge component of the game, and it's helped bring in money. It's helped bring in visibility. It's helped getting guys like Brandon Ayuk these bigger contracts.
Well done, Greg. We got to go right now. Can't even say goodbye. Because Scraby's getting the steam coming out of his ears. Thanks, Greg. We appreciate it as always. Good catching up to you.
Bye, fellas.
Put the steam back in your ear, Scraby. You got another show to do.
I love how Tony's just laughing the entire time.
He loves it.
Oh, this is great. You're mad.
You were mad a lot today. If you missed any part of Scraby being mad, you can catch any part of the show, 97.3thefan.com or, of course, Odyssey app. Coming up next, Scraby Chronicles.
Uh-oh.
Can't imagine where those are going to go tonight. Matt Scraby from 6 to 7, for Tony Gwynn Jr. in D.C., Chris Ello here. Don't forget to be on time tomorrow, 2 o'clock, short show ahead of Padres baseball. Right here. It'll be on 97.3 The Fan. Ta-ta.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing.
He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
As a parent, you always want to set your child up for success. So when they're struggling in school or they need help with homework, you try your best to step up. But sometimes you might not be equipped to answer. And it's better to leave that to the experts from IXL Learning. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL can help your child really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. And when you sign up, one subscription gets you everything you need for all the kids in your home, from pre-K to 12th grade. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., with 1 in 4 students across the country using the program. So don't wait any longer. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.